Praise God. We are speaking on who is. Who is the? And we're talking about the Trinity. I'm speaking about who is the Father. So we're doing a little bit of series. So 2 weeks ago, I spoke on who is the Father, part one. And I spoke about he is the ultimate power and authority. And he's the ultimate love. And today, I'm going to be speaking about the ultimate Father, part two. He is the ultimate holiness, and he's the ultimate grace, mercy, and forgiveness. I'm thankful for our Heavenly Father today, aren't you? That's why we're here today, is the Father sent his only Son, Jesus. So today, I want us to repeat the Lord's Prayer again like we did a couple of weeks ago. Let's say it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Notice that when Jesus started to pray this prayer, he said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does hallowed mean? Not Halloween. What does hallowed mean? Holy. Holy is your name. So if God's name is holy, he, the Father, is that much more holy. Both his name and he himself is holy. So today, let's jump right into it. Our Father is the ultimate holiness. Let's pray. Father, we just approach you with reverence and humility. And we say thank you for letting us come into your presence. Thank you for letting us worship you. Even though we don't deserve your presence, you have given us your Son, Jesus. And we can walk boldly into your presence. So now we can worship you with boldness and confidence. I just pray that you will bless those that are listening today and bless this message in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. The definition of holy means to be set apart. Ethical purity or freedom from sin. Our Father in heaven is definitely set apart and different than us. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not perfect. Now, some of you may not know that you're not perfect, but say it again, you're not perfect. God, our Father, is the only one perfect. Our Father, well, Jesus and the Holy Spirit make up the Trinity. But God's the only one perfect. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 3 through 4 says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. Now listen to this. He is the rock. His works are perfect. And all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. God is just. We are the ones that have messed up justice. We are the ones that have messed up this world. We're a mess. Our world is a mess. The United States is a mess, no matter how good we are. And I'm thankful to be an American. Can someone say amen? I'm thankful to be in a country that still allows us to worship with freedom, that still allows us to send missionaries. We need to be thankful because it may not always be. But we have messed up. Our Father gave us a choice in the garden, and we said we want to do it our way. Well, look what our way has gotten us to. Look at your family and look at what our way has gotten us to. Look at yourself. I look at myself and I say, Lord, I still need a lot of help. Amen. Anybody else out with me? He is so perfect, so righteous, so holy, that his purity makes our filthiness look like filthy rags. Isaiah 64, 6 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Us compared to God the Father, we are nothing in compared to his holiness. And that's okay. If we know that, that's okay. When you think you are amazingly perfect and wonderful and a bag of chips, all of that in a bag of chips, then you've got a problem. You need to get to the altar. We need to realize we are nothing without God. Can I hear an amen? His presence is holy. Not only his name is holy, but his presence is holy. Jacob was running away from Esau. He awoke from his sleep, Genesis 28, 16 through 17. He thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? What made that place awesome? Was it the ground was sacred? Was it the ground was holy? No, it was God's presence that made it holy. What makes this place holy? Is it the pews? Pews don't make a place holy. Is it the wonderful theater seats? No. Is it the altar? It's God's presence that makes this place holy. Jacob continued to say, this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. God told Moses, take off your sandals, for this is holy ground. God told Joshua, take off your sandals, for this is holy ground. Now, this sanctuary is a place of worship. The adventure ship is a place of worship. The activity center is a place of worship for the youth. What makes this holy is God's presence. Now, I know we have a lot of fun in here. We play games in here, and that's okay. But as long as we know when it comes time for the presence of the Lord, we must still have reverence and respect for God's presence. I remember going to a very strict church when I was about 5 years old. No playing in the sanctuary, no running. And my dad wasn't pastoring at the time. He was working. He was working this particularly Wednesday night. And the service had ended, and my mom said, Connie and Perry, let's go. Now, I was about 5, and my sister was 6. And we were doing that little game of, hey, nay, 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 got you, running around the pews. And she was saying, Connie and Perry, let's go. And we just were having so much fun, playing tag, get you and run around. She was getting embarrassed. You could tell she was just getting red. My dad was not there. That was a big deal. All of a sudden, in this strict church, walked up this strict pastor. And he went like this. Kids, knock it off. Quit running in the sanctuary. My mom was so embarrassed. We straightened up. We walked out to the car. And my mom, I said it last 2 weeks ago, my mom said, wait till your father gets home. I'll never forget that story because we were not being reverent to my mom. We were not being reverent in the house of God. Now, the presence of the Lord is what makes a difference in kids' lives. Whenever we would come home from youth camp or kids' camp, I would always ask this famous question. Hey, guys, on the bus ride home, I'm driving. What was your favorite part of camp? They would say swimming or the camp food. Don't you love camp food? But almost everybody in the bus would say the services and the times around the altar. Why? Because God's presence made a difference in their life. You can have all the entertainment, all the fun, all of these things, but what kids are going to take home with them, what youth are going to take home, even adults are going to take home, is the presence of God making a difference in our lives. Amen? His presence is holy. The Ark of the Covenant was in the most holy place. Why? Because his presence was there. Because his name is holy, because his presence is holy, he's called us to be holy. That's right. He's called us to be holy. Holiness is not a bad word. Too many times we've put holiness and we've put so many attachments to it that we've thought holiness is a bad word. Not in a negative way, but or a mean way, but we've said holiness, that means legalism. I know what it's like to grow up in a very legalistic home, and some things were very legalist. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You grew up, everything very, very strict. Let me see your hands. Okay, there were several. All right. There's a difference between true holiness and just straight legalism. But I don't think we can just throw away everything, because if we throw away all the legalistic stuff, sometimes we've created a culture that just says anything goes, and that's not right either. There is still sin. There's still right and wrong. Can I hear an amen? There are still things that the Bible says, thou shalt not. And we can get in trouble these days for talking about the things of sin. But Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. He is still calling the church in 2020 to be holy, to be pure. Does that mean we're perfect, Mr. Bill? Does that mean that we never fall? That's not true. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, you're going to mess up. I'm telling you what. The difference between holy people and people that don't care is that when you mess up, you get back up. You say, God, I'm going to keep serving you. I'm going to get back up. You know, I believe that God still wants his people to have holy mouths. Holy minds, purity. The Bible still says sin is sin. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 through 16 says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. I believe Jesus is coming soon. Look around you, folks. Jesus is coming soon. That should not scare you. That should be exciting. Jesus is getting ready to come back for his church. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had. You had, that's past tense, had, when you lived in ignorance. There should be a difference between you before you were saved and after you were saved. Someone say amen. There should be a difference. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So, Pastor Perry, how in the world can we be holy? How in the world can we do it? I'm not that good. That's right, you're not. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ can we be made holy. Our Father sent his only Son to die for us, to let us be saved. When we conform to God's ways through his word and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are becoming more holy. It doesn't mean we are better than anyone else. Hear me, church. You shouldn't walk around with your nose in the air saying, I'm holy. Look at me. I'm better than you. No. Just be holy and live. Go to work and be holy. You don't have to tell anybody about it. If you have to tell somebody that you're holy, you're probably not. hey, while you tell that joke, I'm going to be over here not listening to that joke. Wait. You're going to tell them that? You know, it's amazing. It's amazing what your actions will do much louder than your words. Not striving, but submitting. Not arrogance, but humility will bring holiness. We're going to do something a little bit different. My wife's going to come and join me. We're going to sing an old, old song in conjunction with our Father being holy. We're going to sing Holy, Holy, Holy. If you know that song, let me see your hand. I want to see how many know that song. How many have never heard it in your life? All right. Most of you have known it. Okay. Sing along with me. We're going to sing three verses of that today. Just thank the Lord for his holiness and his grace. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Just thank him for his holiness today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Lord. We just love you, Lord. Thank you for your holiness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. His holiness can be sometimes a challenge for us to even think about because it's so far beyond us. But because it is so far beyond our human nature, we need our Father to be the ultimate mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Aren't you thankful that you're forgiven today? Aren't you thankful that you don't have to come to church worried and fear, wondering if you're right with God? You can be right with God at home or at church. You don't have to get my blessing to be forgiven from Almighty God. You don't even have to pay me a lot of money to get forgiveness. I'm thankful you can go boldly before his presence. Amen. We all deserve death, punishment, and hell. But he gives us mercy by giving us salvation. We do not deserve his favor, but that is what grace is. Favor that he has blessed us with. Amazing grace. No, we're not going to sing that song. But the mercy and forgiveness of God is absolutely undeniable. His mercy and forgiveness, though, depends on us. Robbie, if you'll come up here. Pastor Marco, come on up here. Robbie, if you'll just go sit right there on that little step right there. Thank you. The Bible says in Matthew 18, 21 through 35, there was a parable that Jesus was describing the Father. People wanted to know who the Father was and what the kingdom of heaven was about. So he described the kingdom of heaven and the Father like this. Peter had asked him, "How many times must I forgive a brother or sister who sins against me?" Up to seven times, and Jesus answered, "I tell you not seven times, but 77 times." In other words, as many times as it'll take. Then he told this story. He said there was a kingdom of heaven where a king was settling his accounts. And in this account, he came across a man that owed him 10,000 bags of gold. That's a lot of gold. And so he brought the man into his kingdom and said, "Marco, you owe me 10,000 bags of gold. Now pay up."
"I don't have 10,000 bags of gold."
"Well, you owe me 10,000 bags of gold. Now pay up. Let's go."
"I don't have 10,000 bags of gold."
Now, 10,000 bags of gold represents the sin that you and I have against God. No matter how righteous you think you may be, your sin will not allow you to go into heaven on your own. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." For all have sinned, okay? So this sin against the king was insurmountable. That's why Jesus used a figure like 10,000 bags of gold. What do you mean? You don't have 10,000 bags of gold? You're a youth pastor. You're rich.
That's what they say, but I don't have any.
Well, your wife, she has a good job. She must have 10,000.
She's keeping them from me then.
And so the king says to the servant, "If you're not going to pay up now, I'm going to take you, your wife, and all your kids." How many kids do you have?
Three.
Wow. "And I'm going to throw you in jail until you pay me up what you owe me." Judgment, punishment, hell, we all deserve it. We forget about that here in 2020. We forget that God is still a just God. He's a holy God. And so he stands before the king. And when the king says that, the Bible says that he begged. I said he begged. "Yes, sir?
Please have mercy on me."
"That's it?"
"Yes."
"That's all the begging you got?"
"Right now."
The Bible says he was desperate and he started begging for his life.
"Please, don't take my wife or my kids. Please.
I'll do anything."
How was that, folks? Okay? So the Bible says that the king, when he saw his begging, he forgave him. Tell you what, Marco, you owe me 10,000 bags of gold. You owe me none. Gone. Done. You're free. Go and live your life and enjoy the freedom that I gave you. Come on, God forgave all of our sin. You see, the Father is willing to forgive us of all our sin, not most, not some, not a little bit, but all of our sin. Isn't that awesome? We can walk in here totally forgiven. Well, the Bible then says that Marco left happy, the servant left happily, and he found a fellow servant, a friend, who owed him 100 silver coins. Robbie, if you'll come into the picture now. 100 silver coins. Now, a lot of times we think it was 5 cents. No. 100 silver coins is still a significant amount of money. It's still hurtful. It's still painful. The fact that someone sins against you doesn't diminish it. It means it still hurts. But Jesus wanted to bring the point that when a brother has hurt you, it takes something to still forgive him. Now watch this. So he happens to see him on his way home, and Marco says to Robbie, Hey,
you owe me money.
Listen, I'll pay you back as soon as I can. 47 kids is a lot of mouths to feed.
Grandpa Rob, 47 kids. Okay, all right. Wow. So Marco, who just was released from this huge debt, I'm sure had compassion on his friend, right?
Nope. No. You owe me money.
Listen, I'll get you your money.
No, it's unacceptable. I will throw you in prison if you don't give me money.
Listen, I'll get you your money. Just give me some time.
Now, so the servant had the fellow servant thrown in jail. Now, does that even make sense to you? I mean, how can the king forgive him of everything, and then he goes out and gets angry and throws? But don't we do that? Don't we get up from an altar? God has blessed us. He's washed over us, and we feel great. And then we go out, and we get angry, or the person that's been angry at us, we get mad at, and the next week, we're just back in our grudge and our unforgiveness after God has forgiven everything. The Bible says that the king heard about what Marco did. One of the other servants saw. So the king brought back Marco and says, "Didn't I forgive you of 10,000 bags of gold?"
"Yes, you did."
"Then how could you not forgive your fellow servant for 100 silver coins?"
"He owed me money."
"Didn't I forgive you?"
"Yes, you did."
"Couldn't you forgive him?"
"I guess."
The Bible says he didn't, and he threw him in prison. Here, go by your fellow buddy over there. The Bible says that the king put him in prison, and he put the debt of 10,000 bags of gold back on him. Then Jesus says these words, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Let's give these guys a big hand. Thank you. I did not have them do that in the first service, so you guys got a special treat seeing their amazing acting. Two things that I received from this parable, we're going to close. We're going to close with this in a story. Number one, our Father will forgive you and me of all of our sin. All we got to do is ask. And I believe tears are still okay in the altar. I believe that it's still good for us to have a desperation asking God to forgive me. If there's something in your life, God can still help you overcome that thing, that addiction. God can still help you overcome that sin that plagues you. I'm telling you what, God still is in the forgiving business. Amen? But number two, we must forgive others. It's not a maybe, it's a we must. Jesus says you must forgive one another. But Pastor Perry, you don't know what they did to me. God's forgiven you. Our Father has forgiven you. It might be your mom, your dad, your wife, your son, your daughter, your coworker, your boss, your former wife, your former friend, you name it. I don't care who it is. They may have hurt you, and today it's still got a hold of you. I'm here to tell you that you can forgive them through the help of the Holy Spirit. And you can release them from having that grip on you. In just a moment, I'm going to ask if anybody needs special prayer, because sometimes this can be a challenge in your life. But first of all, I want to tell you a story from many years ago. There was once a father and a son named Paco, who had been estranged for some reason. As a result, Paco ran away from home. No one could really say why he ran away. Perhaps he didn't. Maybe he was kicked out by his father for something foolish that he said or did. Either way, Paco found himself wandering the streets of Madrid, Spain, hoping to enter into a profession that might get him self-killed, bullfighting. Those who train under a mentor have a good chance of surviving. But Paco's memory of his mistakes and guilt over what happened blindly drove him. Isn't it amazing what our hurt and our past can drive us to? But that was the last thing his father wanted, which is why he tried something desperate. Back then, where there was no phones or cell phones to reach him, there was little or no chance that he could find Paco by walking the streets of Madrid. So instead, he put an announcement in the local paper. Here's what the announcement said. It says, "Paco, meet me at the Hotel Montana at noon on Tuesday. All is forgiven. Love, Papa." Hoping that his son would read it and meet him there. At the time of the meeting on Tuesday, when Paco's father got to the hotel, he wasn't prepared for what he was about to see. Paco was such a common name in Spain at that time. The next day at noon, there were 800 young men looking for forgiveness from their father. You know, people are begging to receive that forgiveness. People are desperate to hear it from a family member. Or maybe someone's desperately waiting to hear that from you. See, our Father has forgiven us. Now let us forgive around us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us forgiveness. Your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness has forgiven my sin, has forgiven our sin. Maybe there's someone here, Lord, that needs to know your forgiveness today. Maybe there's someone here that hasn't been able to forgive themselves because they haven't received forgiveness from you. I'm going to ask everybody to stand, please. If today you are here and you need God's forgiveness, you need the Father's forgiveness, I'm going to ask you to do a bold thing and step out and come around these altars and just ask the Father. Ask, Father, forgive me. The second thing is, maybe there's someone in your life. Maybe there's someone in your life that you need to forgive. Maybe someone that you've had a grudge against, or a feud in your family, or I don't know the circumstances. You fill in the blank. No matter how much they hurt you, you need to forgive them today. These altars are open. As Ben and the worship team begin to sing this song, I want to open up these altars. And let's just let God's forgiveness flow.